Well, good morning. Happy to be here. First time, it's a lot. But I'm excited for the opportunity to speak with you guys and hopefully you guys come out of here with some clarity as far as our strategy is concerned, as far as our team building is concerned. Fire away.
Maybe just start with that. I mean, is there a clarity that you would begin with?
You know, the clarity I will begin with is free agency, obviously. The media, the fans, everyone wants that big signing. But at the same time, as we continue to put this team together, I think there has to be a process. It has to be a methodical process. And look, when there is a guy that we want to get, the Crabs have already told us, like, they'll spend the money. And I would say offensively this year, we were very picky as far as the players that we were getting. And at the same time, that wasn't really a deep offensive free agent class to even make that type of splash. Now, we're saying that the draft is coming up. There will still be conversations as far as trades and things like that, and guys will be released. So this is a process that's going to go on all the way until after the draft.
Is it frustrating at all to have the conversation of, well, we're going to do a number of things to weaponize the offense and then get to the store and say, well, the shelves aren't really stocked with the things we need?
Yeah, I mean, it is frustrating, but at the same time, I think one of the number one priorities we had was to sign our players back. And I think, it's not a popular pick to sign an offensive lineman to a big deal, but at the same time, he's a critical piece to our team. And look, we want to take care of our own. And I think that was really the strategy going into it. Now, look, we did have targets that we wanted, that it just didn't work out. But when it's all said and done, we want guys that want to be a part of this process, want to be a part of the next chapter in New England history.
A lot of people have sort of clung on to your statement about burn some cash. Do you regret that?
No, I don't regret it. Look, I'm a first-year head coach. I didn't mean, like, burn some cash. I know we have a lot of cash to utilize, but we are going to utilize it the right way. We have to be very convicted when we do spend that cash. But ownership has done a good job just letting Elliot and I know that we have the cash to spend. Just try to spend it smart.
When you look at your team, do you consider it a four-win team? Or, as Bill Parcells would say, you are what your record says you are?
Yeah, honestly, this team is going to look different than last year's team. Even if you were to look at last year, I would say there were opportunities to win more than four games, and we just fell short. Look, we'll see as the team continues to come together how many wins. I can't give you a prediction on how many wins we'll have, but what I will say is that we'll put a competitive team out there on the field, and look, not only on the field, but also off the field, and that's what we're trying to do here in New England.
When you look at the roster, it looks like there's still some needs at quarterback, tackle, and wide receiver. Are you confident you guys can still fill those before the season?
I'm confident that, we can absolutely fill those roles. In saying that, though, it's going to take time. Look, our philosophy as far as putting this roster together, look, you want to draft and develop. When it's all said and done, you want to draft and develop. And I have 100% confidence in Elliot and his staff weaponizing the offense and really getting us better as an overall team. I know everyone wants to talk about the offense, but one thing that you guys have heard from BB and that I've learned from Bill was, just that all three phases are very important, and playing that complementary football is definitely something that Elliot understands, I understand, and the rest of the staff.
How many pressure do you feel there is on this draft class? We're talking about filling needs, left tackle, receiver, quarterback. Those are three big needs that can be tough to fill. How much pressure is on this 24 class?
Honestly, I don't feel those three positions that you just spoke of. I would say this draft has quite a few guys that can fill those roles. And look, we sit at a very enviable spot at number three, where we could take someone at three, or if someone offers a bag, as we would say, a lot of first round picks, we definitely have to talk about those things as we continue to put together this team. You said it, there are holes on this team, but I would also say there will be people available going forward to fill those holes.
Sorry, so just to confirm, you guys are open to trading number three. And Elliot not being here, does that complicate matters at all?
The crazy thing, we are open. We're open to, trading the pick. We're open to taking a guy there. And look, the crazy thing is we have telephones at this point. Elliot didn't come because he's doing a lot of work back home. And I don't say that to be disrespectful, but what I would say is he's doing a lot. He's working, and his staff is working through the weekends. And honestly, I would rather him be doing that than be sitting here right
would
now.
When you look at how Mac's tenure with the Patriots ended, what did you learn from that experience, and what sort of things will you apply as you look forward to potentially drafting another quarterback?
Yeah, you know, Mac Jones came in and had a lot of success early on. We always talk about that jump from year one to year two and how significant that year is, or that bridge is to year two. And I would say it was a combination of things, you know, that really kind of hindered that growth in the second year. One thing I did learn about that that process was, as you continue to develop a quarterback, it's not only the players you put around them, but also the coaches that you put around this guy. Not only the coaches, but it can go all the way to the ops teams and things like that to support a guy who plays the, you know, most important position in sports. And to ask him as a rookie to come in is always going to be tough. And then you get to year two, you want to see that jump. You get to year three, you would want to see success like this, you know, just straight line. But realistically, that's not what it is. It's like a bunch of ups and downs. And I think just supporting a quarterback is one of the biggest things. And I would also say this, you know, bringing a guy like Jacoby in, look, he's definitely a starter in this league. And I would also say he's a good mentor to quarterbacks across the league.
Do you feel that the roster and the staff as currently constructed is ready to support a rookie quarterback?
100%. I feel very good about the staff that we have. We have guys, you know, TC and AVP and even McAdoo, all guys that bring a certain skill set to the quarterback position. Now the balance is, look, he needs to hear that one voice. And what happens sometimes with younger quarterbacks, they have their quarterback guru, they have their coach, their quarterback coach. Most offensive coordinators are quarterback coaches. So look, those guys have worked together in the past and they're on the same page to support any quarterback that we bring in.
What do you like about Drake May in the time you spent with him?
Yeah, look, Drake May had a fantastic interview at the Combine. He brings a lot of energy. You can tell he has that leadership ability. And, you know, also the exciting part about a guy like Drake May is the ceiling. Like, there is really no ceiling with a guy like that. Now, in saying that, when we're trying to put together this roster, I know a lot of people look at the ceiling, but you also got to kind of see how low is the floor. How low is the floor? And I would say a guy like Drake May, he has a lot of room to grow. He's a young guy. Honestly, he hasn't played football nearly as much as these other guys. So that's definitely something that we've looked at, but he definitely is going to develop.
But in keeping with that, when you're at three overall and it's a draft like it is this year, you could have an opportunity to, instead of having a guy with a high ceiling who might need work, even though he's really good, you could move down and hit two other spots in the first round, wide receiver, left tackle.
That's right. That 100%. You know, I know everyone likes to think they have the special formula to picking players, but honestly, the guaranteed way to win is to accumulate more picks. And so if we don't feel convicted at number three, to your point, like, we are willing to do that as well.
Since we asked you about Drake May, we also have to ask you about Jaden Daniels. Have you met with him? What was it like? What do you think so far?
Yeah, so Jaden Daniels, you know, I was on the Zoom with him. I met him before. Look, those guys have pro days coming up here soon. So when you think about the process, like, when I leave here, I'm going to LSU. And then when I leave LSU, I'm going to Carolina before I get back home. But you have to do your due diligence. And once again, it's not all about me. It's not all about Elliot. What you guys have heard me say a lot is about collaboration. And one thing that Alonzo Highsmith, one of our scouts, told me, and I truly believe it, he's been doing it for a long time. And he said all the bad picks that he's seen, it's really been where everyone wasn't on the same page. And you would hope that, you know, you could get everyone on the same page, coaches and also scouts. If you have one person, you know, drafting, that's kind of tough.
You've talked about quarterbacks at the number three pick. Do you view that as being a three-man race at quarterback, or is J.J. McCarthy part of that conversation as well?
Look, let me tell you, when I first started watching these guys, it was that three-man race. And now, as you continue to, you know, go to these, pro days and bringing guys in on the 30 visits and having time to spend with those guys to really get to know what makes them tick, I mean, it's about five guys, honestly, that could come in and be a solid quarterback in the future.
Gerard, you're the head coach. You're going to have a say when you pick a quarterback. What are you looking for in a quarterback when you go to these pro days, when you meet with these guys?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. look, we have the quarterback guys that are going to be there to talk about mechanics and things like that. Like, that's not my expertise. One thing you want from a quarterback, my number one thing, is a good decision maker. Like, that's first and foremost. And I would say one of the things that often gets lost is just competitiveness and toughness. And so you see some of the top quarterbacks in the league, like, those guys get smacked and get right back up. You know, their offensive linemen help them up. I think that is very important when you're kind of scouting this position. The competitor, like Tom, the toughness, like, you see guys like Joe Burrow, you know, he gets smacked and gets right back up. It's pretty impressive. But it also sends that subliminal message to the rest of the team, like, I'm here with you. Like, I'm going to get hit, I'm going to get back up, and we just got to continue to go. Oh, shoot. Continue to go as we go forward. Sorry.
Shadowed orange juice. No, I'm dry. You're wet.
See, that's called a joke going wrong.
Gerard, what led you guys to Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah, Jacoby, look, first of all, he's a known entity. He's a guy that's been here before. Secondly, I would say he's worked with a lot of guys on our staff currently. And so anytime you can get a player that is also a coach is beneficial. And he's going to help as far as the installs and things like that. So, he has the tools to be a good quarterback. So look forward to working with him.
Gerard, you mentioned five quarterbacks. We touched on three. You know, Caleb Williams, I assume, is in that group, the fifth guy?
Yep. Look, there are guys, I don't want to sit here and give you names. I don't want to give you names, but there are about, I would say, five or six guys that are just very impressive. They all bring a certain skill set to the table, all skill sets that you want to see out of a quarterback.
What surprised you personally about doing this job since, whatever, January 14th?
Yeah, honestly, the lack of just the X's and O's, like the scheme stuff. You know, right now, you know, you put your coaching staff together, you get your scouting staff together, you figure out how things work behind the scenes, and it's been very interesting. But one of the things that really surprised me was just the lack of, you know, talk about scheme with the coaches. And look, once again, I have tremendous confidence in our coordinators and the staff, and those guys have been doing that stuff, and I've been working more with Elliot and his staff to try to put this team together.
So is it just a matter of you haven't had the time to really get deep on it?
Yeah, you just haven't had, as far as scheme. So, you know, when we're watching film now, it's really with a scout hat on. And so when you have that scout hat on, you're not really thinking, all right, it's the 14-5 or any of that stuff. You know, as far as X's and O's, it's more about just the individual player.
Try to talk about the importance of retaining your own guys. Is Christian Barmore someone you'd like to keep around long term? And have you guys approached him about an extension?
But one thing with Barmore, he's one of those players that he's developed here. You know, there were some questions coming out of college, obviously, you know, his potential. He's done a fantastic job really growing up. I think DeMarcus and Joe Kim have done a good job really helping develop him. And look, once again, it goes back to we want to keep our own, right? We want to keep our own players. And we have had talks with Barmore, and hopefully it works out.
Have you had talks with Matthew Judon about either extending or enticing his contract?
Look, there's no question that we want a guy like Judon. And look, going back to keeping our own, look, Judon was in Baltimore. He just happened to be just a great guy and a great fit, a culture add for us. And we want to keep Judon. We want to keep him, but that's more of a question, you know, for Elliot. But those conversations have started. We know that he's still a premier rusher in this league, but as we continue to go forward, we want him to be a piece of the puzzle.
Offensive guys hired as head coaches in the NFL than offensive guys. Was there a point over this process where you wondered whether that sort of trend was ever going to swing back the other way? And what do you feel like maybe caused it?
Yeah, I never really thought about that. One thing I will say about defensive coaches, let me talk about the head coaching role in itself. A position coach is a lot different than a defensive coordinator. Our coordinator, that role is different than a head coach. And one thing I would say is I've been around a lot of good leaders in my life. Obviously, Bill being one of those guys, defensive guy, special teams guy. You look at Mike Tomlin, you look at Raheem, you look at all these guys that are really just great leaders. And we can sit here and say, you know, do they want to call the – are they going to call the plays or are they not going to call the plays? I think the more important thing is how do we get everyone in the organization really going the right way? So I wanted to be here in New England. This is the place I've always wanted to be. I played here. My family's here. And I was just waiting for my opportunity. I didn't know when that opportunity would come, but it came, and I'm excited to have it.
You guys pursued Calvin Ridley, and I'm
obviously it didn't work out. How difficult do you think it'll be to weaponize the offense, to find that guy? Because obviously it's not easy to acquire them.
No, that's right. And one thing I would say, as you go through the draft, you want to get guys that are magnets. You know, I played with the ultimate magnet in Tom Brady, where guys wanted to play for Tom, with Tom, and with the team, right? And so it kind of gets skewed, and it's kind of now it's the other end of the spectrum. It's like, what pieces do we have to attract those outside guys? And look, once again, if we draft a guy, you're coming here. And so that has to be our philosophy as we continue to put this thing together.
Did you find that was a struggle in free agency when you look at the guys you targeted and didn't sign? Were there any commonalities about they didn't typically sign because of X, and was that magnetism part of it?
You know, I would say there were various reasons why guys didn't sign with us. Once again, the unknown is scary for a lot of people. And I would say, even in our building right now, it's still unknown. Like, will I be a good head coach? I don't know. Hopefully, I think I can be. Will Elliott be a good GM or whatever he is in his role? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens with that. But look, it's going to be a process. And once again, you guys, even sitting around this table, there will be times that you have to ask me hard questions. Like right now, we're 0-0. We're still in the honeymoon phase. You guys are throwing up these softballs, but I understand what I'm getting myself into as we continue to go down this trail.
Do you feel like you have to rebuild the organization to the point that it will once again be a destination for free agents?
100%. The goal is always to have players want to come to your organization. And that is absolutely a process. We're thinking about those things. And once again, the crafts have given us the ability to really, I don't want to say modernize, but to really do the things that we want to do going forward to bring people in, which I think is important.
Did you meet with many players yet, Teron?
So at the combine, we had, at the combine, are you talking draft or?
Current players on the roster, veterans.
Well, some of them walked through the building. And honestly, as the head coach, I'm always hesitant to even have any type of conversations. Like, are we in a tampering zone? Not. I just need those rules right here. I'm not doing anything. But in passing, just saying hi.
Teron, you mentioned, who knows what type of head coach you'll be and what Elliott will be. What have you seen from Elliott, who's really entrusted with a pretty immense responsibility here as with the final personnel side, that gives you confidence that he's the right person to do this?
I would say overall his steadiness. Elliott has a great attitude and a great mentality when it comes to not only picking players, but also the staff. He was very influential in even putting together the coaching staff as well. And I've been watching him from afar for a couple of years now, and it's really gelled nicely. In saying that, I would also say his dad's a Hall of Fame scout, so it's not all like just here in New England. I think he brings a fresh perspective, as we continue to build.
His dad,
he's come in quite a few, no, not quite a few times, maybe once or twice. So last year he came, this was 2 years ago, and I think last year he came as well.
He hasn't been around though.
Right now, Mike, honestly, look, we want to have a, not open door policy, but at the same time, we're in a room all day just really going through players. I don't think that's something he would want to do right now. But going forward, that is someone that you would hope to bring in to help develop people. And so I think, just continue to have that growth mindset going forward is huge.
You guys obviously showed that you're willing to invest in wide receiver. Could you still be active on the trade market, or is the draft more likely for?
We're still open on the trade market, but I would also say this is a pretty deep class as far as receivers are concerned. So it's all on the table right now, and hopefully as we continue to get closer to the draft, Elliott's fielding calls, the scouts are fielding calls, but as we get closer to the draft, it starts to be a clearer picture. That's really the goal.
Do you think it's wise to take a quarterback in the top three if you don't have necessarily the support system? I did a little thingy, and I went back. There's only two quarterbacks who've won a Super Bowl who have been taken in the top three since 1998, and both have the last name Manning. It's hard with a top three quarterback. You look at Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, even Justin Herbert had a really good network of offensive players around him.
That's right.
So do you see the merit in perhaps maybe building around the position?
Absolutely. Look, once again, if we take a quarterback at three, that means we are convicted that this player is really the future of this organization. And going back to your point that we kind of said earlier, there are multiple pieces on this team as a whole that we want to, you know, we want to fill those holes. And so if you can gather more picks, that definitely helps you out. Like, put more chips on the table. Probably shouldn't have did a gambling reference right there. But the more picks that you really have, you know, the more likelihood you have to really hit on them.
I guess to go off that, if you do trade back, would you look at it like, hey, let's just stockpile as many first. We can get our guy next year and almost ignore quarterback in the draft this year, trust Jacoby, and then target a quarterback next year?
Yeah, you know, those conversations are still ongoing. And when it's all said and done, it'll be between ownership, Elliot, and myself, and we'll see where we get.
Pass on a guy at three, and he turns into be a future, you know, franchise quarterback. That's going to be a question we're all asking you. Why did you pass on, you know, so and so?
And honestly, look, hindsight's always going to be 20/20. I wish I had that crystal ball. You never really know. You're going to find gems throughout the draft. Okay, and once again, you know, as we continue to go through the process and look at these players, really, it's about trying to find those gems later in the draft. Now, sitting at number three is very unique because whatever happens at one and two, like if you're convicted on, you know, let's say three or four quarterbacks, then I feel like we're in a good position.
Jarrod, you're 1 month away from the draft exactly today, and I know you still got to go to the pro days you mentioned, 30 visits possibly with some of these guys, but most of the hay's in the barn as far as the tape study and the combine work. What do you need to know specifically or learn over the next month about these guys to complete the scouting process?
Yeah, you know, you're exactly right. There is no new film, and sometimes when, you know, when people do all their, you know, reviews of players, I'm saying in the media, there's really no new information. But we continue to move guys all over the mock drafts and things like that. Now, from a coach's perspective, there is new information. We have spent hours and hours with these guys by the time we get to the draft. And so I don't want to say that the hay's in the barn. I think we still have a lot of work to do on all the quarterbacks in the draft. And really, Elliot and his team will lead that effort.
What's some of that work specifically?
Yeah, that work is just, how does this guy learn, right? How does this guy, how does he deal with adversity? And once again, you can go back to the film and just, you know, you can kind of gauge retention. Like, what does he remember about this game here? And as they continue to talk and it continues to, you know, come together, that's always the information that is added to what we're talking about.
Positional things. As of today, who would compete at left tackle for you?
You know, once again, you look at our roster. We brought in some, you know, obviously Chooks. We brought Chooks in. Look, we'll see where we put the pads on. It's gonna be tough. We have options. You would hope that those young guys that we have on the team also kind of take that year one or year two jump. And look, Scotty Peters and his staff, they're charged with developing players. And look, our roster will change before we even get to the draft. So that's kind of a hard question to really answer.
Will he begin at right tackle?
Well, that's where it'll start. But look, once again, you know, Big Mike can play multiple positions. He can play guard. He can play right tackle. He can play left tackle. But that's one of those things that we got to have those conversations going forward with the coaching staff.
Marte Mapu, what position should we expect to see him start?
Marte Mapu is always, he's one of those guys that we talk about versatility. He's one of those guys that he can play big star. He can play safety, and he also can play linebacker. Now, he'll start in the safety room, and we'll work our way down from there.
You like three being a unique position? Do you have a sense of what Washington will do it to, or how concerted will you try to figure that out throughout this process?
Yeah. Honestly, we have no clue, and I don't think anyone in here really knows exactly what Washington is going to do. I think everyone knows what Chicago is going to do at one, but the rest of it, honestly, is just up in the air. And when you see these other teams making moves, you know, acquiring pieces to move, like we could sit here and say Washington today, that could be somebody else on draft day. So I don't want to speculate on that.
Last time we talked to you, I think you mentioned Troy Brown was still with the staff. Can you clarify what his role will be?
Troy's still on the staff. He will. He has a skills development role with our staff going forward. He'll work with the players. He'll work with the skill players, and also work with the scheme and the offensive side of the ball. So he's still with us.
Troy, you mentioned the need to be aligned with a top pick. As far as things stand today, understanding, like you said, a lot of work to do in these quarterbacks. How aligned would you say you are with Elliott as far as how you view the top quarterbacks?
Yeah, I would say just as a whole, it's not just Elliott and myself. Once again, going back to collaboration. Look, we have great scouts across the board that everyone has their different opinions. And so you want to start with hearing those opinions, but at some time you have to kind of shrink the group and come to some common ground. So we're close.
Sorry, buddy. What's ownership's role in picking the quarterback, you mentioned that they would have input. Elliot, yourself, Coach and stuff.
Yeah, you know, honestly, once again, just how I, I hired Elliot, or we hired Elliot, it's the same thing. They don't want to be involved in football decisions, but they have given us the tools to go out there and get the guys that we want. They've given us the backing or the confidence to go out there and be aggressive if we are convicted on a player. But at the end of the day, like, they don't want to be involved with football decisions.
So would they have a role in saying, here, you know, maybe playing devil's advocate? I mean, they have to have some kind of, like, if you pass on this guy, than XYZ.
Honestly, I'm not sure. It's my first draft as a head coach. Seriously, I'm really not sure. But one thing I will say is that the Kraft family and ownership, they have given us the ability to go out there and you know, offer big contracts, to go out there and take a quarterback at three, to go out there and move down, right? So all of those things are up in the air. And once again, look, it's their team, but they have entrusted myself and Elliot to really kind of put this thing back together.
Reported that you're going to start the off-season program on April 8th. Is that correct?
That's correct.
You could start April 1st. Why leave a week on the table starting a new program?
Yeah, so there's still going to be time to put this team together. I think as the staff continues to gel, not only on the coaching side, but also on the scouting side, as the team continues to gel, I just want to make sure that we as coaches are all on the same page before we go to the players. We've been a part of situations where, you know, you bring these different coaches in, you know, this guy has one philosophy, this guy has another philosophy. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, the coaches, the staff, we're all on the same page going forward. And look, once again, you don't win games in the spring, but you can lose them. And I don't want to fall into that trap. I want to make sure that we're all pulling in the same direction.
Right now, do you know how many you want to designate for rookies? Like, how many UDFAs you want to bring in? How many more, you know,
better? No, honestly, that's an Elliot question. I don't even want to go down that road. I'll leave it for the expert.
Obviously, he has the legal situation going on in Louisiana.
Yeah, you know, we're continuing to gather information on that. He's still on the team. He's still on the team. And hopefully, you know, we can continue to develop this this player, but really develop him as a man as well going forward. I think it's important to remember, like, some of these guys are very young and they've made mistakes in the past. It's easy to just throw them away, but there are certain instances where you're like, all right, I can help this guy out. And I feel like we have a good player development group there that will definitely help us going forward.
You mentioned the 30 visits with the quarterbacks. Do you guys have those planned with Drake, Jaden, and JJ?
I'm pretty sure all three of them will be in. So.
Gerard, since you've gotten the job, is there anyone who's called you like, wow, I can't believe that guy called me, you know, or something like that?
You know the crazy thing? Someone told me that Andy Reid wanted my phone number, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then his wife caught me on the elevator. She's like, you're so hard to get in contact with. And I'm like, man, look, she has her rings on and stuff. And I'm just like, I got to get back to that that point. So, you know, I honestly respect the position of head coach. I respect the position of coaches, NFL, college, high school. There are some good high school coaches that if they called, I would be like, wow, that's pretty cool. And look, first and foremost, I'm a fan of football. I'm a fan of players. I'm a fan of coaches. I just love being around the game.
This is a little bit outside the hash marks, but I go back to early 90s. Bill Parcells came in as coach, and Patriots actually changed their logo. It was part of a new identity, new image. You're coming in after 24 years of Belichick. Is there anything you want to do? I'm in new uniform, new, obviously not a new logo, but like captain's patches, the number zero, like anything that you've thought of that reflects like a new beginning?
Look, I do, just to say one thing, I do believe in having captain's patches. That's one thing. Another thing, and just like we did the happy hour with the media, with our local media members, I think it's important that you guys get an opportunity to see what we've changed inside the building. Going back to the investment that the Kraft family have given us to change things in the building. And look, I'll coordinate with Stacy, but I do think it would be beneficial to have, let's say, that happy hour, like be able to walk through the building and see the changes that we've made.
And like weight room stuff, I'm thinking about that NFLPA Players Association, yeah. Like the weight room sounded like it needed upgrade. Where, I mean, maybe that's not a question for you, but what do you see from that?
Look, the report card, you know, I think it's very important. I think it just reminds staffs and owners of things that we need to improve on. Going forward, you know, the Kraft family, once again, when you see a grade that's not favorable, it does bring attention to it. In saying that, we put together a group that's really going to try to attack some of the problems or some of the things that we see that we've seen on the report card. But it's, once again, it's gonna take time. It's gonna take time to improve those things.
Anything specific on that stands out to you, or is it too early? Like, whether it's like the daycare stuff, that was one thing that I saw.
Those are definitely things that are on the table, and I think, you know, the better we take care of families, the more likely it is for our players to go out there and play free. Same thing with the coaches. So it's definitely important, but I also think when you look at the report card, you know, when those guys did the report card, it was pretty early in the season. And so, I mean, it's easy to overreact to some of those type of grades, depending on really how the season's going. Like, to me, the better way would be, all right, early in the season, middle of the season, end of the season, to really put those scores together. So, but in saying that, look, it does bring attention to things that we're trying to improve.
Gerard, you mentioned knocking down silos in your press conference. It's been almost 2.5 months now. Can you give us an example of doing that?
Yeah, you know, really, that's for us internally. But I would like to believe when you guys do get a chance to talk to the scouts or talk to the coaches, they will really articulate the goal that I had going forward.
Gerard, what would you say to Patriots fans who look at last year? 4 wins, not bringing in a whole lot of game changers in the offseason, you know, despite having the cap space, you know, a lot of them are frustrated. Some of them are angry. What would you say to those Patriots fans?
For Patriot fans, look, I understand the frustration. I understand the expectation that has been really built over the last 20 years. But at the same time, hopefully the fans understand that we're trying to build this the right way. And we're trying to, bring in pieces that we think are for the long term. I think there's a combination between bringing people in for the short term, but also you have to think long term, and that's always the hard thing to do. I would just ask Patriot fans for patience. Look, once again, there will be players that hit the wire, you know, free agents, guys that are explosive, whatever you want to say. There will be guys in the draft. There will be guys after the draft. So just sit back and kind of, you know, let us do our job going forward.